But thank you very much, Tiberius, for the nice introduction. It's actually very nice to be here and to speak to you instead of preparing the event and the logistics, you know, as the host of this event. Because this will be a joint presentation, I would kindly ask you to signal me at about like 15 minutes when I'm into the presentation. So today we would like to talk about the impact of the transformative agreements the ACE consortium has in Hungary. I'm going to talk about the rationale behind negotiating transformative agreements with publishers and the early impact of the agreements we already have in place with various publishers. You already heard that we have these models with Degreuter as well as Wiley. So just a little bit of the background of the consortium. The Consortium of Hungary has been set up in 2001 with the main goal of providing electronic scientific content to our member institutions. In 2012, we have been moved under the umbrella of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, and as of today, we have more than 240 member institutions. So you can imagine that it's a big task to please everyone in the membership. So very briefly about the budget of ACE, and this is, you know, very much connected to the serious crisis that all the librarians in the audience know about. So. The main sources of the budget of the consortium are coming from two main sources. One is the central funding by the Research Council of Hungary, and the other one is coming from the institutions as contributions when they subscribe to content. They have to pay for it. And you can see from this that in the last couple of years, the steep increase in the level of the institutional contributions, and what you can see that if we would continue without intervention, the money that the institutions are paying for accessing content would increase like tenfold in 8 years. So that was the main reason we thought that, you know, we have to change our models. But it's not only because of the, you know, annual increases of the databases and contents which we subscribe to. The portfolio of ACE also increased considerably in the last couple of years, especially from 2017 until, you know, recently, and for the next year we're also planning to broaden our portfolio. You can see that between 2012 and 2016 the content we covered was pretty much stable, and then from 2017 we started to broaden our portfolio. These bars represent the coverage of the ACE portfolio, of like the coverage of Hungarian citations, if they were covered by an ACE license or not. And what's very, very interesting, if you combine the increase of the total budget of ACE and the coverage of the, you know, portfolio and the Hungarian articles citations in Web of Science. So you can see that between 2017 and 2020, until the next year, the increase of the total budget is actually following the broadening of the portfolio. So it's like the institutions get access to more content, and also they pay more because they get access to more content. But it's also very, very interesting that between 2012 and 2016, when the portfolio was stable, you could also witness very steep increases in the budget. So that was for a largely unchanged portfolio, but there were still price increases. But that's also not really news for all of you in the audience. The serious crisis has been has been with us for a long time, and you know, it's sort of natural because of the lack of market powers in the subscription system. So because, you know, each and every article and each and every journal represent a unique content, you cannot subsidize one journal with another. You cannot say that you will cancel Nature and then subscribe to Science magazine instead, because it just, you know, makes no sense. Everything is unique in this. But, you know, with the launching of new journals, with the more and more paper are getting published every year, it's natural that libraries have to subscribe to everything if they would like to fulfill the needs of their faculty and researchers. You know, and the open access movement was something that started 15 years ago, and they wanted to tackle this very problem, to make an end to the serious crisis and bring a more transparent and more open research climate and ecosystem. But we can see right now, and the AMPEGO study was also mentioned by Alberto, that based on the current growth trajectories, it would be probably around 2040 when we would end up in a fully open research environment where every paper which is being published is open access from day one after the publication. So we want to increase the speed of the transition to open access. And you know, the reason for the slow take up is also like you can look into the publishing models. You can see here the difference between the proportion of journals published in 2012 and 2016 and how the hybrid model was actually growing. So you could hear from Wiley and from De Gruyter that they're launching new fully open access journals. But the market changed considerably in the hybrid model. So subscription journals went to the hybrid model, but still you can see that there's a considerable chunk of subscription-only journals on the market, or was in the market in 2016. And you know, you can think of as the British did after the Finch report, that you can just pour more and more money into the system, pay for hybrid, and once you paid for hybrid, probably you know all the rest of the world will pay for hybrid, and then you know you will end up with decreasing subscriptions and increasing fees for open access. But this was not the case actually. So these are the expenses of the very same 10 institutions from the UK for the same seven publishers throughout the years between 2013 and 2016. And what you can see that the expenses, what they paid for hybrid and fully open access publishing, was growing throughout these years. But this did not bring a decrease in their subscription spend. So you can conclude that probably hybrid is not something that will take us to a fully open access world, or not like within constrained costs, at least. Talking about the Hungarian research output and how we can or could transform this to open access, this is the Hungarian research output from the last 8 years. And we usually use this graph, but then most of the audience is probably familiar with this. So these are Hungarian corresponding author papers, number of Hungarian corresponding author papers from Web of Science from these dates. And we divided using unpaywall data to see what proportion is gold open access and green open access. And because there's a large overlap between green and gold open access, we reduced the green to green only. But you can actually dig deeper into the data. And what you can see here, actually, is that the fully gold part of the Hungarian publishing output is growing, and the green-only part is also growing. But you can see overlaps between the green and gold. So there is like the purely green, which is not published in open access journals, but they are in repositories. The largest part is actually an overlap between green and gold. So the papers which end up in repositories are mainly those ones which are already published in gold open access journals. And these repositories are actually, you know, like PubMed Central and EuroPMC, which harvest these papers automatically. There's also a small amount of papers which are in hybrid journals and end up in repositories, but there are really a large number of papers which and a largely, you know, stable amount of papers which are published in hybrid journals. And you can see the growth of fully open access, papers in fully open access journals, which is also very, very interesting that in the last couple of years it seems constant, but changes between the journal portfolio. So for example, in 2014, you could witness that there was a lot of papers in PLOS One. Then it decreased. Scientific Reports came up, and then you know now it's MDPI, which is getting more traction. And you know you can also see that the number of paywalled papers are pretty much the same throughout the years. So you can probably conclude that the work of open access advocates was helpful in a sense that it raised awareness and people were starting to publish more and more in open access journals. But this had no effect on the papers published in a paywalled model. So authors publish in open access, but they still keep publishing in their favorite subscription-based journals. Thank you very much. So going back to the budget and what the institutions are paying. So this is the total budget of ACE, and the bars represent the institutional contributions. But this is, you know, not the full picture, because institutions are also paying for gold open access in fully gold journals and in hybrid journals. And so you can say that there's about €1 million on top of subscriptions, which the institutions actually pay for open access. And we are about like 25% of immediate open access in the Hungarian research output. So you can probably think about what would happen if you would follow the Finch report and just pour more and more money to the system to flip the Hungarian papers and pay for all the hybrid and all the articles. So the institutional costs would probably double if we would just say that you must publish in open access. Here's the money, you can spend it. But that would basically double the costs of us, and it would have no effect on the subscriptions, because as the colleague from Wiley pointed out, Hungary is like in the other part with like 0.5% of articles published in the Wiley portfolio. And why would we? Why would we actually provide more money when there is already enough money in the system to use this cover the open access fees? The green line is also the ACE total budget, and the golden line is the estimated value of APCs if all Hungarian papers would be published in an open access format with APCs. Of course, not all journals charge APCs. There are diamond models and everything, so that's also something that you have to take into account. And this is where transformative agreements come into the picture. So what are transformative agreements? Transformative agreements, based on the ASEC definition, are agreements which reduce spendings on subscriptions and increase spendings on gold open access fees. So it's like one is decreasing and the other is increasing. What's also important to point out, that this is from the Berlin 14 conference statement, that transformative agreements are actually like for a limited time. It's not for the entirety of time. They're trying to achieve a transition within a short time frame. And you can also see that the journal, like the negotiations with publishers, are something that can be an instrument to implement these sort of innovative agreements. This is from the Open Access Tipping Point public affirmation, which came out, I think, last week from the US. And although they don't mention transformative agreements per se, they mentioned that they would like to reduce dual payments that they pay for publishers. The main difference between transformative agreements and the hybrid model is that in transformative agreements, in a setting of transformative agreements, there is no double dipping, and this is what we are trying to overcome. And we use the journal negotiations to achieve our goals. So you can see that last year, quite a lot of things were happening. Countries, entire countries, systems of institutions canceling their contract with various publishers. We also did that. But we also concluded some agreements, for example, with Wiley, which Katrin already talked about. And this is, if you would look into our agreement with Wiley, you would probably not consider it as a cost-neutral transformative agreement. But if I would tell you that we had 8 institutions in the first year, so what you can see here, the bars represent the number of Hungarian papers from Web of Science in valid journals. And the lines represent the fees which we paid as a consortium, and on top of that, what the institutions paid for open access publishing. So in the first year, when we agreed with Wiley for a subscription-only agreement, we had 8 institutions participating in the consortium. And for the next year, we actually we managed to agree to a transformative agreement, which covered the institutions' output and transformed them to the open access. And you know, what you can conclude here is that, you know, the 8 institutions, if we would have stayed with a simple subscription agreement, and instead of 8, we would have, like, you know, 13 institutions, institutions would have ended up paying the same. So it's cost neutral in a sense that for the institutions who were participating in year 1 and year 2, there was not so big of a difference between switching from a traditional agreement to an open access agreement. And what you can also see that it's beneficial for the publisher, because more institutions are willing to take these sort of agreements because they see the added value. And this is the feedback that we got from the institutions. That for the subscription only agreement we only had 8, but for when an open access agreement was in place, more institutions seen the benefit of joining the consortium. And a similar graph was also presented by Catherine, but that was the Max Planck pie chart. But we also repeated this for the Hungarian publishing output. And you can see that most of, like, half of the Hungarian papers are being published by 5 large publishers. 25% is in the other category, but, you know, 75% of the Hungarian papers are being published by 25 major publishers. And we have open access agreement with most of them, actually. The one with Elsevier is being now concluded. We are in the middle of the tender procedure. But with the others, we have concluded transformative agreements. And you can also see that there's 5 publishers already, fully open access publishers, who are in the top 25 in terms of the Hungarian output. And you can also see that in the other part, that's basically like, half of the other part is already open access because they are university presses and, you know, these publishers which operate on an open access basis. And, you know, if we would forecast the Hungarian publishing output for this year and for the next year, and we could, you know, use the same growth trajectories, you know, open access will grow, paywall will stay the same. The impact of the transformative agreements would be that they would take a considerable chunk from the paywall articles. So these will be the numbers which will be covered by ICE agreements in the next couple of years. And, you know, if we account for the growth of green open access, within a very short time frame, we could probably say that we managed to transform the Hungarian output, or at least like 90 or 85% of the Hungarian output to open access. And with this in mind, I give the floor to Balázs Réfi.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for this invitation. It's a great pleasure for me to talk to you and represent Akadémia Kiadó and represent many, many Hungarian authors that publish in our journals. Some words about the company. This is launched by the Hungarian Academy. You're sitting in the headquarters building of this academy in 1828. And since 1997, it is co-owned by Wolters Kluwer. We have lots of books, the tradition, mainly online published on our smart library, digital smart library. We have dictionaries, online dictionaries, of course. We organize scientific conferences, and we have a considerable size journal portfolio with 62 journals. 10 of these journals are co-published with Springer Nature, and the rest is co-published by us. Of course, we have a history on open access. We are kind of an early adapters, or we try to be an early adapters. So we announced our hybrid model in 2007, and the Green Declaration as well. That was confirmed by the Sherpa next year. And in 2008, we had our first pure gold open access journal, Octa Chromatographica. It's a Polish journal, the journal of the University of Silesia in Katowice. There were the first journal flips in 2014, Evolution, Mind and Behavior, and Central European Geology. And for the moment, we have 15 gold open access journals. That is 38% of our total journal portfolio, considering the number of journals in this portfolio. And we have this deal with the ACE signed early this year for 19 and for 2020. We, Akademi Mikiadó, are the big guys in Hungary, and we are not that big guys, of course, in the international level. And I try to define ourselves, our strategy, as being an experimental publisher. As I was introduced, I'm a chemist, and I have many colleagues who are chemists in the company, and we understand each other very well, and we consider all these efforts like very nice, very interesting experiments in the publishings without the pungent odor in the chemical laboratory and the hot flask. Of course, it's much more convenient. We have to grow. Our major owner, Wolters Kluwer, is a public company. They want us to grow, not necessarily in the financial figures, but in competency, in excellence, definitely. And we are here in Budapest, at the City of Birth of the Budapest Open Access Initiative, so that obligates us to go into this direction. And we are brave enough, I think, in our company culture, there is no such thing as bad idea. I will present much less figures than Adam. They were excellent and very interesting figures. I would be a little bit personal, maybe emotional. So this is some samples of my email archives about our efforts and ideas presented to different stakeholders of the Hungarian research community. For example, from 2009, we contacted a national funding agency, it's not the ACE, a different one, proposing a bulk open access deal for Hungarian researchers in our hybrid and gold open access journals. And we had several rounds of discussion, and the final declaration was no way. It would be anti-competitive and unfair subvention for this publisher. It was the agency's official opinion about this idea. In 2015, we had another one contacting the Hungarian Academy and proposing to launch new gold open access journals in special niche territories, or maybe a big Hungarian mega journal, something like that. Let's discuss about it. And they said, that's nice. We add it to the agenda of the publication committee. No news about this proposal since then, so maybe it has been a dead one. 2017, it was a personal discussion with one of the president of chair of research institute of a special Hungarian learned society and social science. And we proposed to digitize their print-only books, the present books and the off-print books, and add it to our smart library portal, some of them to be added in open access way. And he said, nonsense. It was too much work to put it on the web without any control, open access. It's forget it, guys. That was the one answer. 2018, another effort, we contacted Hungarian universities to make individual deals with them. On bulk APC deals with a cap of the number of pages annually, and it was very promising. The deals were signed, but it was too difficult to organize the whole story, and there was a lack of interest outside the library immediately. So it was a dead way again. But finally, we have this one, a picture I'm very proud of. Adam is on the picture as well. This was made by the occasion of the signature of this transformative deal with ACE this January. And we have a quite large community behind this deal, quite a number of participating institutes who joined this deal. So in terms of total institutes, 34% joined. In terms of universities, all universities, 61% of the universities joined this deal. And if you consider the big and medium universities, there are plenty of very, very small universities in Hungary. So if you consider the big and medium ones, there is a something like 85% who joined. And if you consider all the institutes, universities and research institutes who provide any kind of scientific output, that means papers, then 60% already joined this deal, which is good news, definitely, I think. Turning back to the title of this presentation, what is the impact of this deal? I think there should be two kinds of impact, the immediate impact, first of all. So from our point of view, it's pure pride and joy. We are very proud of it, to make it happen. And that means a lot to do, of course, administrative things, licenses, filtering the incoming manuscripts, whether they are entitled to the open access option or not. The first online usage figures are six times higher than figures for papers behind paywall. If we watch the participating institutes more detailed way, we can observe that the social science and humanities are underrepresented yet. I hope it's yet just. And the feedback from the research community, the researchers, it's average feedback is a very polite, really, and not more. And we definitely need more. So we want to discuss them, the details, their preferences, the most detailed way sooner or later. So the long-term impact may be, from our point of view, again, we are ready to make similar deals with other national or other kind of consortia, of course, and we're looking for those kind of cooperations. Regarding the citation figures, we don't have measured data yet, but I think there should be a significant increase, of course. And on a wider scope, yes, open access is just one step towards the ultimate goal, the open research. And as I mentioned, the feedback from the community is a very valuable raw material. We must gain it, and we have to think it about. In the middle of the negotiations, I heard this one from Katalin Urban, director of AIS. She told that she don't expect major breakthrough this year. It may come in 2020 and on. And that's a good scenario, I guess. So yes, we feel the same by the end of this year, but we look the future very promising and very positive. I'm hereby referring to Catherine's last slide. She just left us. You may remember that road, and I think we are on the good road, on the good direction on this road, of course. And we, Akadémia Kiadó and AIS, most definitely we want to be drivers in this road, not spectaculars or passengers. So please join us, if you don't mind. Thank you for your attention.
I see there are some questions, immediate questions for now.
A question from over there.
A question from a scientific perspective to Dr. Adam there. So we see that majority of the journals are now or close to be covered by these agreements. For example, Springer Nature is covered, but what is the issue with the mega journals? Because when, for example, Scientific Reports is part of Springer Nature, is publishing in numbers probably as much as all the other Springer journals, and as far as I understand, it's not covered.
Yes, that's actually true, that our agreement with Springer only covers the hybrid journals this year, but we're currently working on a system or on an agreement which would cover the full portfolio of the whole Springer Nature family. And we are very hopeful to conclude the negotiations for next year.
Are there any other questions? Then thank you very much for your presentation.